This hour of the Jason Rancho is brought to you by MMComfortSystems.com. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So, let's find out what's trending.
What's trending in the media?
CNN's Chris Cuomo used his job, used his media sources to get dirt on women who accused his brother, then governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, get dirt on the women who were accusing him of sexual harassment, groping. This according to documents that were released by the New York Attorney General's office. Now, before this information came forward, we were told by baby Chris Cuomo, who's always doing some sort of work in the gym and then posting it on his own show to just weirdly brag that he works out. It's very odd. Previously, before we learned any of this, we were told by him that I was just advising my brother because I'm a family man. I care deeply about my family. Wouldn't you do the same thing for your degenerate brother? He didn't quite use that kind of language, but that's basically how it was perceived. People saying, yeah, I mean, I get it. You're a family guy, but your brother has been accused of some pretty despicable things. It's odd the way you're talking, but okay, fine. And they kind of gave him a pass. Certainly CNN gave him a pass because they don't want to go after one of their own. And the media at large, which leans very heavily to the left, didn't want to go after Chris Cuomo either. He was one of them. Now, if this was anyone at Fox, completely different ballgame. If this was Tucker Carlson, who would never do something like this? If it was Tucker Carlson, who was protecting his brother, who was accused of some sort of sexual misconduct, they would go after him until he resigned. They wouldn't give up after he gives some lame statement on his own show about how he's just a family guy and I'm never going to talk about this again. They wouldn't let that go. Not even. But with Chris Cuomo, they decided to let it go. Well, they're going to have to be pressured again into making a statement here. Because we've now learned that he worked very closely with the governor's advisor at the time, his head advisor, his top aide, Melissa DeRosa, to try to get dirt on these women who were accusing his brother. In one text, he writes, I have a lead on the wedding girl. A lead on the wedding girl? He's talking about Anna Ruck. She's the one who said that Andrew Cuomo attempted to kiss her at a wedding. He collected information for this top aide, for the governor's team. He worked directly with them. He wasn't counseling his brother. He was helping his brother using his media contacts, contacts that he made because he works at CNN, and feeding the information and receiving information with the governor's team. He told investigators with the Attorney General's office, quote, I would, when asked, I would reach out to sources, other journalists, to see if they had heard of anybody else coming out. So he was even trying to make some strategy decisions on how to deal with potential fallout of new accusers. Which, by the way, again, should be a reminder, the family guy, the family man who's helping his brother, he assumed that there were going to be more accusers. And he decided to stick with his brother. He contacted sources to find out when Politico and the Ronan Farrow piece would end up coming out. I believe that was what, in the New Yorker? When they were going to publish pieces about the accusers. According to the reports, Cuomo expressed relief when he learned that Farrow was writing a story about just one of the accusers, not all of them. So it's bizarre, and it certainly goes too far for any normal media organization that takes itself seriously, that does not exist purely to go after Republicans. And when you exist purely to go after your political opponent, you tend to let slide some of the ethical concerns. Now, yes, CNN said, oh, we're looking into this. We're going to look into these documents, and we're going to do an investigation. Uh-huh, right, like you did it the first time. He's going to get a pass, and they get to make that decision. Viewers certainly get to make the decision as to whether or not they want to give him a pass. Remember, folks on the left like to say all the time, believe all women. Even when there's no evidence to back what someone is claiming, they say you should believe all women, all accusers. Except, I guess, when it comes to women who go after people who you are political friends with, supporters of. When they go after Brett Kavanaugh, believe all women. When they go after Andrew Cuomo, eh. I mean, he is a man of passion. Clearly, they wanted him to try to grope them. I mean, yes, they pushed him away and said, don't do that. But, I mean, that was just playing hard to get. You see excuse after excuse after excuse when someone that you support is accused. And then, of course, when you've got the heartthrob brother, I'm assuming some people find him to be a heartthrob. I don't understand that for either of them, frankly. Which one was who? What's the comedian who's just not funny? She used to be on E. Chelsea Handler.
Yeah, you don't like her.
Oh, she's the
you
worst.
You openly don't like her.
Was she hitting on Andrew Cuomo or Chris Cuomo? Do you remember? It was definitely one of the Cuomos. I think it was Andrew. And then after the scandal came out, didn't say anything.
Governor Andrew Cuomo.
Okay, yeah. Well, now she's probably going after Chris. Now, again, if this happened on Fox News, what do you think the conversation would be like on The View? If this was Tucker or Hannity or Laura defending a brother who's accused of some pretty rotten things, do you think they would give him a pass and be like, well, you know, it's not that good. But, you know, we shouldn't go ahead and try to get him fired. Or do you think they would lean in and say this Fox News personality is just as big of a villain as the brother who committed these horrible acts? Well, what do you think would happen? Probably go hard against the Fox News folks. What do you think they did today when talking about Chris Cuomo's actions as it relates to protecting his brother using contacts that he only made because of his position on CNN? What do you think they did? Probably kid gloves.
Do you think he did anything illegal? I mean, does it feel...
That I don't know. You're the lawyer. You tell me.
You know, that's the thing. I think it comes down to it doesn't feel right. It seems unseemly, yeah. Right? But is it illegal? I don't think so.
Who was having a conversation about whether or not this is illegal? Who seriously, and I don't know how that would even come up. Who is even saying, well, is that illegal? Is that all that matters? No one is having a conversation about Chris Cuomo as it relates to legality. They're talking about it as it relates to journalistic ethics. That's it. Whether or not it's illegal is immaterial here. At the end of the day, it's immaterial because no one is having that conversation. Of course it's not illegal. No one says any of this is illegal from Chris Cuomo. Andrew Cuomo, yes, they're saying it's obviously illegal.
I think he's a brother. He wanted to help his brother.
Yeah.
I think certainly there is an ethical issue when it comes to journalism. Should you be, if he's considered a journalist, and did you use your sources to somehow help your brother's legal case? I mean, he is a lawyer. Chris is also a lawyer, and he was drafting statements and advising his brother.
Saying he's not an advisor.
And right. While saying he's not an advisor, did he do anything illegal? I don't see that. And so what do you do when your brother is in trouble and you are not only an attorney, you have a job where that gives you access to
Why not take yourself off the air?
Take yourself off the air. You shouldn't be fired. Oh, you got to love it. Got to love The View. I mean, when I say you got to love The View, I mean laugh at how hypocritical they all are
And then use it as a weapon against your producer to make him watch hours and hours of The View when you know exactly where the clip is, but you say, hey, go find it in yesterday or maybe even the day before his episode. Yeah.
Was I in a bad mood today?
Yeah.
Does that explain why I forced you to watch lots of The View?
Yeah.
Was I in a good view, mood last week when I forced you to watch a lot of The View?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Why do I do that?
Because you hate me. You hated everything.
1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message. 1-800-465-8770. Don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/JasonRants. twitter.com/JasonRants. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? A Jason Rant exclusive.
It's a story you're only going to hear about here. I mean, others will pick it up, but it originated here. In fact, if you followed me on Twitter, you would have gotten the alert last night of this exclusive, in which I discovered a teacher in the North Shore School District was recorded during a vulgar and one-sided rant about Kyle Rittenhouse in the trial. It happened just before the not guilty verdicts were reached, where this Bothell High School science teacher by the name of Kevin McDonald, he decided to stop an assignment that they were working on, a discussion they were having about magnets in this sophomore science class. And he stopped it because he wanted to have a conversation about Rittenhouse and the case. And when I say conversation, it sounded more like he wanted to have a monologue, which is a talk show host who delivers monologues. I can certainly understand why someone might want to do that. The difference is I generally don't get in front of a bunch of kids who are being effectively held hostage. The kids who are in the studio right now, they come to me.
Yeah,
I don't force
them. But you still do a, you know, monologue for kids weekly.
It's fair enough. He used this case to push some anti-police narratives that we've heard from folks on the left, not just as it relates to the Rittenhouse trial, but how it relates to policing in general. He decided to use this case to explain how cops are racist. And when a student tried to weigh in and say, whoa, I'd like to maybe say something, just put his hand up to maybe weigh in, he got scolded. Put your hand down, it's my turn. As if somehow a teacher is supposed to have a expectation that they will give their views on anything other than the subject matter that they're there to teach. The district is now investigating the conduct. Now, this teacher, Kevin McDonald, spent a portion of this classroom time, it was on November 18th, ranting about Rittenhouse, who, as you know, went to Kenosha, where his father lived. He didn't have no connection to Kenosha. He showed up armed and with medical supplies with the intent to help protect a community from violence, from rioting. That was spurred on by the police shooting of Jacob Blake, a black man armed with a knife who resisted arrest, attacked officers, and then goes for his weapon before getting shot. Rittenhouse shows up. He gets attacked. He uses his firearm in self-defense. He was cleared by the jury of all charges. And anyone who spent even 10 minutes watching the trial knew that he was innocent. Anyone who spent 10 minutes, how long did it take you to realize that he was innocent, that he was going to very clearly be found not guilty?
I mean, pretty quickly. I listen to the Jason Rant show every single day.
You just have to play a clip of the incompetent prosecutor and look at any of the mountains of evidence that has been available to everybody to see, visualize. There was actual video for this entire time that we all had access to. It was very clear he was acting in self-defense. Oh, and then the whole thing about one of the witnesses who was shot in the arm saying Kyle Rittenhouse didn't fire his gun until he pointed his own gun at him. I mean, it's very clear. But if you went into it with this preconceived notion because you believed that this was a case of white supremacy, you decided to use this as another example of cops protecting white supremacists. It's ridiculous. So this teacher, as he was talking about it, was getting upset about the details of the trial and apparently sensing that this teacher was speaking out inappropriately. The student uses their cell phone to record this speech on video. The father shared it with me. And I thought we would play it in full as we have it, so you can get the context of how this was delivered and why it's so clearly inappropriate.
Back and forth about how what happened and did he feel like he was really in danger and what the hell was he doing there in the first place? Where were his parents? That's what I want to know.
His mother drove him there. His father left. He should have watched the trial.
So that's arguable. That's what the trial is about. Was he acting in self-defense when he shot those people?
Yes.
That's for the jury to figure out. That's not for me to figure out.
Oh, thank you so much for clarifying that. I thought that the fate of this child rested in your arms. So thank you so much for relinquishing that responsibility.
But for me, what's the most appalling thing about this...
Okay, what is it?
...is he ran toward the police with his hands up with a weapon right here. And the police did this. They waved him through.
Well, that's actually not true. And again, I suppose I forgive him for not watching the trial. Although he weirdly has a take on the trial based upon a misunderstanding of what happened. The officer who he's referring to didn't just wave him through. That officer ended up pepper spraying him because he wouldn't get out of the road. He didn't arrest Kyle Rittenhouse because he didn't believe that Kyle Rittenhouse had done anything. They thought there was an active shooting going on. Having a weapon the way that Kyle Rittenhouse did was not surprising. Lots of people had weapons. Open carry is legal. And as the officer testified, it was a war zone. He had no reason to believe that this kid who was putting his hands up and going towards the cops was there to confess that he just shot three people in self-defense. But, of course, that doesn't make it to this rant.
Seriously.
Seriously.
If he was black, would he have been waved through? No way. That's what this is about.
Oh, is that so? You don't point to any specific case that's similar, that's comparable at all. You come nowhere near it. But you want us to believe that no black person would have been treated exactly the same way because you want that captive audience to believe that all cops are racist, that they are inherently racist. They will inherently treat someone differently because of the color of their skin. That is a worldview that he holds. And he's welcome to hold it. It's wrong. It's not based in fact, but he gets to have that opinion. He's doing this in front of kids, and it's dangerous. It's dangerous because he is in a position of power, which makes kids inherently uncomfortable speaking up. However, one student did want to speak up, and that student didn't get treated the way you would expect a student to be treated by an honest, good faith teacher.
It wasn't about that. It's about people seeing people differently. There's no way he would have been waved through the police line with the semi-automatic weapon if he was a different race. Put your hand down. It's my turn.
Put your hand down. It's my turn. This teacher, Kevin McDonald, might be certain the Rittenhouse case is an example of racism. But that's a position that's informed by bias, not anything uncovered at this trial. And this disgust for cops, or what feels like disgust for cops, doesn't mean what he's saying is based in reality. This is clearly inappropriate. It's clearly inappropriate. This teacher comes off as an activist who is all consumed by his own wokeness. This white guy desperate to be seen as a savior to people of color. It is something we see with white progressives all too often, especially in Seattle. That they're the ones who are protecting black people. No one else can because they've seen the light. You haven't. You could. You can join them. Huh. Something that gives his life meaning. Meaning that apparently he doesn't get from teaching physics. But ultimately, when I listen to this video, this audio, who in the world cares what a physics teacher thinks about the Rittenhouse trial? Who cares? You think your students care? So you're not going to deprive them of your hot take? They don't care. They're not there to hear your take on anything beyond teaching them the subject matter that you are there to teach them. If this guy came out, and he took a position that Kyle Rittenhouse was 100% right, and anyone who got in the way of the self-defense argument that he would believe, he would just silence. Do you think that the liberal parents in the district would be okay with that? Do you think the media would give it a pass? Probably not. So why is it that conservatives should have to put up with it? They shouldn't. I am so proud that this student decided to film this. I'm so proud of that student. I generally don't want students just going in looking for a reason to go after a teacher or a classmate because they've done something that is marginally inappropriate. This is way more than marginally inappropriate. This is another example of teachers going too far in using their own political positions to try to indoctrinate kids. And it has to stop. And the only way it stops is when we shine a giant spotlight on it. No other media outlet is going to cover this. You're not going to see this on TV. King 5, Woke 5 News, they're not going to cover this. Seattle Times, not going to cover this. And so what I need you to do is text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770, and I'll send you a direct link. Not just to the story, but I'll embed the audio, the video. Make sure you're posting it. Kudos to the outlets that have picked it up nationally. The Blaze picked it up. I think Fox News picked it up. I know Steven Crowder picked it up. But you're not going to get this anywhere else locally. So I need you to help me put eyes on it. Text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770, or go directly to ktth.com and you can check out the story. 1-800-465-8770, that's the text line. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. Yet again, volunteers with the group We Heart Seattle is doing what the city of Seattle refuses to do, which is actually help the homeless. Do the work, commit to the work, to get people off of the streets. There's been a homeless guy called the Lawnmower Man. We've talked about him on the show before Thanksgiving. And he's called the Lawnmower Man because he's camped out on the sidewalk in Ballard. His name is Charles Woodward. And he's collected lawnmowers. They're broken down. They don't actually work, but he's collected them. That and a whole bunch of other garbage, trash. And he's camped out on the sidewalk to the point where people can't even walk. They can't even use that sidewalk. He's gotten angry and aggressive towards people who have tried to intervene. Those people then complain to the city. The city does nothing. They pretend that they're going to do something. Oh, you know, we'll send an outreach team over. And somehow that outreach team doesn't actually get anything done. And so finally, Andrea Suarez got involved. She runs We Heart Seattle. She'll be on the show tomorrow. She's a friend of the show. She's been on quite a few times. She's doing amazing work because she knows it has to be done. She actually has compassion for the folks who are living out on the streets. She also has compassion for the people who live in the neighborhoods who are impacted directly by the homelessness crisis. Oddly enough, she knows what she's doing without any training that's given to the social workers, the outreach workers that work for the city. She doesn't have any special training here. She just knows how to talk to people, to listen to people, listen to their concerns, listen to why they're out there on the streets, connect with them, gain their trust. And that's what she did with Charles Woodward. She connected with him. She talked to Como TV. Before you know it, this guy started cleaning up the area.
Piece by piece, he just kept saying, yep, you can take this.
For the last couple weekends, Andrea Suarez and her crew of volunteers, they went out and helped clean this encampment. They removed thousands of pounds of garbage. We're talking about wood, scrap metal, and of course, the lawnmowers. And lo and behold, during all of this, he wasn't aggressive. He actually mellowed out.
He said to me, Andrea, I'm tired of being angry. And I think he's just worn out.
He's just worn out. And maybe in this case, he actually felt like Andrea cared. That the person who came to help actually came to help. And it saw a result. Her strategy is actually really, really simple.
Is we treated him like a human being with dignity and respect.
That's something the city doesn't care to do. They'll tell you they're compassionate, but Seattle compassion leads to death. Seattle compassion means we're going to let you sleep outside on a sidewalk, in a park, in an alleyway. No matter how cold it gets, no matter how wet it gets, we're just going to let you do your thing. And when you're ready, you know, we'll be here for you. I mean, eventually we'll be here for you. We'll make sure that we can first get you a free apartment courtesy of the federal government, because that's really what we're waiting for, subsidized housing. We'll use you as human pawns in order to get that because we're driven by our political ideology. But we're compassionate. Well, as they wait and wait and wait and drop the ball over and over and over again, people are dying. People are dying. What, 261 homeless people died since last year out on the streets? Some of them due to overdose that we pretend is an actual issue within the homeless community. I mean, we don't, but the city does. They're just like you and I. these homeless people. They're your neighbors. They were just like you, one missed paycheck away from landing out on the streets. People who believe that, people who truly believe that, have never spoken to a homeless person. Are there some examples of that? Yeah, sure. There are some. Is that the majority of the folks who are living out on the streets? No. No. Are you one missed paycheck away from living out on the streets? Do you know anyone who's one missed paycheck away? No. You want to know why? Because if you knew someone who was one missed paycheck away from landing on the streets, you would let them sleep in your home. There's something else going on here. They are like you and I in that they are humans who are deserving of compassion, deserving of our help. But they're not just like you or I. They're suffering in lots of cases from a mental illness that's not being treated, from an addiction that's not being treated. And if you don't acknowledge that, if you treat every single person as if the only reason why they're living out on the streets is because they had a hard month, they lost their job or had one large medical bill, you're not actually going to help these people. And Andrea goes out there and helps. She helps. She actually got him into an apartment. Did you know that? The city that's been saying, we're going to keep people out on the street until we can get them a home, has not been able to do that. She did with her group. She got him into an apartment. And she's going to work with him. Her volunteers are there because they want to advocate for him. And that's why I am confident that this is going to be yet another success story. Who got in her way? She said Dan Strauss, the council member who represents this district or pretends to. She said he told her to get out of the way. Don't do the work. You are distractions. You are a distraction. Says the guy who hasn't been able to get anybody off the street. A guy who seems content leaving people out on the street in a city that still feels content leaving people out on the streets. It's changing. This last election was really meaningful. Really meaningful. We'll see on Tuesday, next Tuesday, whether or not Shama Sawant gets recalled. If that happens, that will send shockwaves through the political community here. Because even Capitol Hill wants to get rid of someone who's deemed too fringe. Capitol Hill? Home of CHOP? We'll see what ends up happening, but Dan Strauss is a huge part of the problem. People like Andrea said, you know what? No, I'm not going to put up with that. I will show compassion.
I think he just felt cared for in a different way.
And people are catching on to the problems. People are catching on. Sometimes the problem is the bureaucracy involved in going after this kind of stuff. But ultimately, the big problem are the people who are in charge. People like Dan Strauss. Now, Chris Miller is a small business owner out in Ballard, and he gave kudos to We Heart Seattle for actually stepping up and getting the job done.
Gave him something the city wasn't giving him, and that's why they had an impact and the city didn't.
She gave him something the city didn't. It took some random volunteer to step up and do something about it. And the thing is, I don't believe that she has superpowers. She doesn't have superhuman skills, specifically dealing with the homeless. She just wanted to get it done. And I think that's the problem here. The city doesn't want to get it done. They have political motivations. They want to keep people out on the street, leverage that to get subsidies for free housing, for housing projects that they will then give to these folks who are living out on the streets when they're ready. Every once in a while, they do the bare minimum. They just announced the opening today of a tiny home village in North Seattle. It'll house 41 people. It's going to be along Aurora Avenue, where it's a total mess. And supposedly, it's going to house the remaining 22 people who live at the Broadview Thompson school encampment that the school board refuses to sweep, despite knowing that a sex offender was living there, steps away from a school. Now, anything helps. That's a different organization. They say they're going to move 5 people a day until it's cleared, and they're going to be moved to the tiny home village. this after about a year of these folks living out there. Now, according to Cuomo, they say, well, in order to live here, you're going to have to agree to a code of conduct. You're going to have to agree to meeting with case managers and working towards finding permanent housing. They say that, unfortunately, in a lot of cases, it seems like the conduct codes are rarely enforced. It's going to be run by LIHI, the Low Income Housing Institute, an organization you've probably heard of before. That's not a good thing in this case. Generally, if you hear of an organization that's tackling homelessness, you've actually heard of them and you recognize the name. Generally, when you recognize the name and you associate it with homelessness, then you realize, well, homelessness has gotten worse for the last several years. And I've heard, is it possible that maybe they're not very good at what they do? Is it weird that we don't get any results, any stats on how successful they've been? Do you know their success rate?
No.
It's weird, right? But you've heard of LIHI.
Yeah, you would think that if it was something positive, they would advertise it. You'd know about it.
It's so bizarre how that works. But let's keep giving people who run LIHI more and more responsibility and money. Let's keep doing that because they've created some good relationships with the city. They haven't really shown us the results that we'd like to see, but we've heard of them. They can be trusted. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message, including texting the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z. I'll send you a link to my latest blog.
Breaking news on AM 770 KTTH.
Hey, look at that. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. We got some breaking news happening. Two significant stories all at once. The first one is concerning Chris Cuomo. We just learned moments ago that CNN is suspending Chris Cuomo indefinitely. Indefinitely. All as it evaluates the conduct that we learned about in the New York Attorney General's investigation into his brother. We learned that Chris Cuomo was doing more than simply advising his brother, who was accused by multiple women of sexual misconduct, groping, harassment. He was very specifically using his sources, his media sources, to look up dirt into these women, to get more details as to when certain stories might be running and what allegations would be included. And so CNN just announced that they will be putting him on an indefinite suspension. The New York Attorney General's office released transcripts and exhibits Monday that shed new light on Chris Cuomo's involvement in his brother's defense, CNN said in its statement. The documents, which we were not privy to before the public release, raise serious questions. When Chris admitted to us he had offered advice to his brother's staff, he broke our rules and we acknowledged that publicly. But we also appreciated the unique position he was in and understand the need to put family first and job second. However, these documents point to a greater level of involvement in his brother's efforts than we previously knew. And as a result, we have suspended Chris indefinitely pending further evaluation. Now, indefinitely means indefinitely, which means it could mean just a day, it could mean a month, it could end up meaning forever. Is this CNN doing some PR work because Chris Cuomo is getting called out in a rather significant way by some other media outlets? We don't know. We'll certainly find out. Generally, this kind of conduct would be a fireable offense. If this wasn't Chris Cuomo, if this wasn't their star anchor, it certainly would. I think it was Greg Price who tweeted out, either maybe late last night or early this morning. I woke up at 1:19 a.m. and I stayed up all morning, so I'm not quite sure even really what time it is now. But he had pointed out CNN fired 3 staff members because they didn't want to get vaccinated. Low-level staff members. What will they do with Chris Cuomo, their star? More of a star in his own head than anything, because no one watches Chris Cuomo. No one watches CNN. You can get like all the prime shows from CNN and more people will watch a single episode of Tucker Carlson Tonight than all of the primetime shows combined. I'm not making that up.
No, that's factual.
it is remarkable how people treat CNN as if it's some major success story when it's not. Now, the other big news just coming down, and it's really an update on something we learned yesterday, a pair of rulings by separate federal judges just halted parts of the Biden administration's COVID-19 vaccine mandate. One ruling issued by a Louisiana-based federal judge blocked the vaccine mandate for health workers across the country at any hospital that receives federal funding. So you can't fire these health workers, health care workers, who are either unvaccinated or simply refusing to turn over their vaccine paperwork. A second ruling that came out, this time by a Kentucky-based federal judge, put a pause on the other aspect of the vaccine mandate, the one that hit the federal contractors, specifically in Kentucky, Ohio, and Tennessee. This is the latest in a string of legal setbacks for this administration as it tries to implement this vaccine mandate that they know is illegal, but they did it anyway. They knew that this would happen. They did it anyway because they are still trying to bully people into making a decision that maybe they're not ready for or don't need, and not everyone needs the vaccine. Let us be clear about that. It doesn't mean the vaccine is dangerous. It doesn't mean you shouldn't get the vaccine, but not everyone needs the vaccine. If you just had COVID, you just got over COVID, you don't need the vaccine. Still talk to your doctor. Do what's best for you in consultation with your own doctor. But I certainly understand why someone wouldn't want a vaccine having just recovered from COVID and currently have natural immunity. I also understand people who just don't think it's right to force this on someone and doesn't want to participate in turning over paperwork of private medical information. They knew that this was going to happen. They did it anyway because they wanted a bully. And the bullying worked for a lot of people. A lot of other people were going to get the vaccine anyway. But a lot of people said no. Federal government would have had to fire a whole bunch of people. There was a memo that went out, according to reports, that said, we're not going to fire you before Christmas for not complying. So, you know, we'll fire you after, but we're not going to fire you before. They're panicking in a little bit because I think they did hope that this would work and get more people vaccinated or at least to turn over their paperwork than the numbers currently suggest. So this is good news on the freedom front. We're going to continue to pay attention to this, see how this story develops. I sent out a tweet politely asking Chris Cuomo to call the office, or maybe his agent or his lawyer, or just call it quits. We'll see what he ends up doing. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message. You're listening to The Jason Rant Show on AM 770 KTTH.